There is a big, massive head that sits on our breakfast table and dinner table on a regular basis. Massive. It just sits there, patiently waiting, knowing full well that through faith, there comes salvation. Now, every once in a while, the prayers of this massive St. Bernard's head are not immediately answered, and there is left this clear gel-like residue. To say, I was here. I'll be back when you're ready. Thing is, he always comes back. Why? Because despite the protest of this disciple, one who is speaking to you now, that St. Bernard's prayers are always answered. Always. By his secret admirers. This is why he keeps coming back. The reward is always there. In this morning's lesson, we have a woman who is desperate. I mean, she is so desperate. Her daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. I can only imagine her desperation. And not being able to fix it, or control it, or help her daughter. In my years of ministry, I have seen this multiple times, unfortunately. Daughters that have all sorts of things that are terrible in their lives. Drug addiction. That is a demon that is so hard to overcome. Eating disorders. That is a demon that seems insurmountable. Crushing odds of success. And let's not just talk about daughters. I mean, also sons. Daughters is in the passage. But there have been plenty of sons also. I don't want to be prejudiced only against others. It just is something that is so difficult to watch. What do you do when you've tried everything to help a person? You feel helpless. I have a pastor friend of mine who has a daughter in her 20s, who is at the point that she's stacking days. That's the way he describes it, stacking days. He used to sit down with me, you know, we used to have lunch together all the time. He was my buddy back in D.C. And he says, I don't know when I'm going to get the call that says she's gone. When you hear that, you're like, his wife is a really successful counselor. It's not like she doesn't have like people in her life that could help her and devise a plan. And, you know, it's a tough situation. So I don't want to just brush through this passage as if it's, you know, the passage of the week in the lectionary. I want to really recognize the struggle of this Canaanite woman. This woman was desperate to save her daughter. She cried out to Jesus with everything she had. Please. And at first, Jesus was silent. He didn't say anything. She cried out so much that the disciples began to be annoyed. Like, can you shut this woman up? Get her out of our sight. They had no interest in solving her problem. She was nothing to them. Jesus played along for a moment. I think maybe to teach them a lesson. Maybe to teach us a lesson. After crying out for help, Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Which anyone who has read Isaiah, the prophet, knows that's not true. In fact, many of the prophets speak clearly about reaching the Gentiles. Jesus knew his prophets. Why is he saying this? Jesus at the end of Matthew was quoted as saying, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." He didn't say only to the house of Israel. He said all nations. That includes the Gentiles. So why is he saying the opposite in front of his disciples? Aren't you curious? I think Jesus said this in a different way. I'm guessing at this. I'm not saying this is, you know, scholarly or whatever. I'm just guessing at this. It's a pastor guessing. I think he said it in a different way. I think he said it like we would say it in our culture. Apparently, according to these guys, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. I think it was more like that. Then the woman knelt before him and said, "Lord, help me." She was desperate. And then Jesus really embarrassed his disciples. He makes a really out-of-character statement. It even shocked you when you first heard it. Didn't it shock you? When you heard it? He said, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs." That doesn't sound like Jesus. Gentiles were seen as filthy dogs. I may be wrong, but I think she gets his sarcasm and responds in kind. "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." What a line. Here's what tips you off about the joy of Jesus seeing her faith and persistence. He says, "Oh, woman, great is your faith." That's a joyous thing. What a scene. What a lesson. There's so many people who think that God could care less about their situation or their struggles. They say to themselves, as we all do at times, "I don't deserve God's love." Maybe there's a story that goes along with that. That's not the point. God says that while we were yet far away from him, he is actively pursuing us. "For thus saith the Lord, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out," Ezekiel 34. Or the woman that loses one of the 10 coins, sweeps her entire apartment full of boxes, turning over everything, until she finds it. And she calls everyone on her speed dial. Says, "I found the lost coin." It's all over the Bible. God not only cares about our situation, but God pursues us in our lost state. first episodes in the Bible, where God pursues Adam in the garden, right? He hides himself. God pursues him. The problem with us is that we often don't trust God. We hide from God. But the entire canon of Holy Scripture is about God redeeming and restoring us to right relationship with Him. Let me tell you, one of the great things about being a pastor is when you see one of those horror stories that I described earlier turn around by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you can see it. Man, it's awesome to see. It changes your faith. You can't unsee it once you see it. It's a miracle. And it is a testimony of God reaching into our lives and seeing. I've seen it so many times. Are never going to recover to the point where you're like the disciples. You wish you didn't have to see this tragic story. And all of a sudden, through the prayer and persistence of the faithful, the whole thing turns completely around. The person you thought was totally hopeless and was a hopeless case is on fire for God, filled with the Holy Spirit. I know there are plenty of testimonies in this room we could share right now. We took time and said, let's take a time off from service and just share. You know any stories like this? There's plenty of people who raise their hand. Oh, I know a person. God gives us the means of grace in order for us to be reconciled to Him. He pursues us with a love and a passion that is never ending. And so we this morning shall come and meet the Lord at the Master's table. Shall receive that portion that God has set aside for us by His death on the cross. As we receive the body and blood and the bread and wine, let us continue to seek and to find, knock and pray, always crying out, Lord, help me.